On the show today, we have NAPQ's very own Ann Kostjev talking about the United States Postal Service getting into the banking business. Yes, they are trying out a banking pilot program or a check cashing program. And so Ann is here to talk to us all about that and how it's going to affect credit unions. So check it out. Welcome to our show. And on today's program, we have NAPQ's very own Ann Kostjev. Ann, how are you today?
Good, hanging in there. Mike, how are you?
Doing good so far. Better now that you're here. So we get to talk about a very timely topic that's got everybody's eyebrows raised, and that's the United States Postal System or Service doing this banking pilot program that we've all been seeing in the headlines lately. And we're like, what? It's like, is this like sticking a square peg in a round hole type of thing? So I just before we get started, can you briefly summarize what the heck's going on here?
Yeah, so it looks like the USPS quietly rolled out this pilot program, which started September 13th, I believe. And I haven't seen any sort of notice or information posted about this in the past couple of months, right? So there was no advance notice that this was a pilot program they were about to roll out. But either way, September 13th, and they push out this program to allow post offices in a few locations to offer certain financial services. But this is limited to check cashing, bill pay, some ATM access, and they've improved their money order and wire transfer programs. Now, this is only being offered in Washington, D.C., in Baltimore, Maryland, Falls Church, Virginia, which is in the Northern Virginia area here where NAPQ is located, and in the Bronx, New York.
Okay.
So pretty limited.
Very limited, yeah.
But still seems to have been done with less than transparency, let's call it that.
Well, I know you guys, I mean, your boss, Dan Berger, president CEO at NAPQ there, he wrote a letter or a commentary on this whole thing. And that's kind of what got our attention to it and say, hey, let's have you guys on and talk about this. So, I mean, so why is this idea even being considered? I mean, shouldn't the United States Postal Service just kind of focus on what they do best? And that's, you know, the mail delivery system that they're so good at, and let's focus on our strengths, okay? Instead of getting into the banking world.
Yeah, absolutely. The USPS should 100% just be focusing on delivering mail, and not just delivering mail, but delivering it on time.
Yes.
Just last week, they announced new delays to their delivery times. Of course, you know, ideal timing right before we get into the holiday season here. I mean, come on, Christmas movies are on TV.
Yeah, get your presents now so they get here on time in December. So that's what I've been hearing.
Might need to plan a little more this holiday season, but so I guess these mail delivery changes are going to affect, you know, first class mail, so like small packages, letters, things like that, and potentially increase delivery times a couple of days. And this is part of a broader like cost savings approach. So the USPS, I guess, isn't relying on as many planes and instead shifting to ground transportation. So obviously that slows things down. Some reports have suggested that this would disproportionately impact, you know, the elderly, people with disabilities, people in rural areas who rely on mail more, so have a pretty significant impact. But, you know, back to the concept of postal banking, I mean, this really isn't new. In fact, the USPS used to offer financial services and even take deposits up until the 60s when they put a stop to all of that. And I think recently, especially during the pandemic with the delays in delivering EIP checks to Americans, there's been a lot of focus on ways to make the financial services industry function a little more seamlessly and to expand access to financial services, especially to those underserved and underbanked communities. Now, there's a study that lawmakers, especially who are supportive of postal banking, like to rely on. And it's this University of Michigan study that talks about how there are very few bank branches and a lot of census tracts across the country, but all of these areas have at least one postal office. But the problem with this study is that it didn't look at credit unions. It just focused on community banks. So, you know, NAFCU's done some research in this area, especially when we look at, you know, rural areas across the country. And we've seen that credit unions have actually opened branches in those rural areas while, you know, large banks and community banks have closed them. So it seems like a really relevant part of the equation has been left out here, you know, namely that credit unions are actually serving these populations that the USPS would be, you know, purportedly helping by offering these financial services. And I mean, not to mention that credit unions could do this a lot more effectively and efficiently because they already have the infrastructure and the staff in place and, you know, follow consumer protection rules. So, I mean, there's just a lot more to consider in expanding the offerings of the USPS to get into financial services. And I mean, there are some statutory and legal challenges there as well. I mean, the USPS is only permitted currently under statute to offer certain non-postal services approval from, you know, the Postal Regulatory Commission. But there have been legislative proposals to expand the powers and authorities of the USPS to offer broader financial services. Wow. So really, we see this pilot program as, you know, a hop, skip, and a jump away from a legislative change that would dramatically, you know, shift the financial services landscape if the USPS were to get involved.
And it sounds like, obviously, this would, you know, this would, what's the terminology I'm thinking? It's kind of spreading their services thinly, I guess, is the terminology I'm looking for. But also you'd be getting the FDIC involved, probably the CFPB would get involved here. And there's all sorts of, I mean, this would just open a Pandora's box, basically, of all things that would have to happen here. But I love how you pointed out that credit unions are already covering a lot of these rural areas that this one study at the University of Michigan kind of neglected. So it's like, what? That seems like a very important part of a study to, like, if you want to be thorough and be fair, then this is something that you would have to consider. And plus, there's this thing called mobile banking that we're all doing now because of the pandemic. We're all digital now. So it just seems like the Postal Service is spreading themselves too thinly here. So
definitely. I mean, on the mobile banking point, I mean, some have made arguments that, you know, it's difficult to fill out, for example, like a loan application on your phone, right?
Oh, so there's technology companies working on that. There's a lot of fintechs out there working on that.
I mean, it's moving along, right? We will get there where it is a really simple process. Just about anything with a financial institution on your mobile device. And that's great because, I mean, access to broadband internet is still, unfortunately, and I can't believe I'm saying this, but it's still not widely available, especially in those rural areas.
Yeah, right? Very true.
You know, a lot of individuals are relying on the internet access through their phone. But going to a post office to do your banking, this, you know, to me, is a solution in search of a problem. You know, credit unions are already there, already serving communities. And there are other opportunities to make it even easier for credit unions to do that. I mean, this would involve some legislative changes, but, you know, expanding the opportunity or ability of all credit unions to add underserved areas to their fields of membership would greatly aid in helping those communities in need.
Yeah, one more reason to get out there for sure for credit unions to take that baton and run with it for sure. And speaking of credit unions, if this moves forward any further further than the pilot that's running right now, how could this affect credit unions, or could it, or would credit unions even notice, or could this affect them in some form or fashion?
Well, I think in the most basic sense, it does, of course, create competition. If you ask me, I think it is potentially unfair competition. I mean, the USPS is so ingrained in our society that if it were to enter into financial services more fully, it could certainly replace, you know, credit unions or other community financial institutions in the eyes of consumers.
Right.
So, you know, we continue to see consolidation trends in the industry, and this certainly wouldn't help to reverse that trend.
I agree. Yeah.
And it could also, you know, hurt consumers because, like I said, the infrastructure is not there, the consumer protections are not there. And so, you know, what if there's oversight that ends up harming consumers instead of, you know, helping them and providing them with the access to financial products and services that they need? You know, credit unions are good at what they do, and they are very relationship oriented. Who knows what the USPS would be like as the banking institution? It's hard to say, but you know, the focus should be on communities in need, especially those communities that have been disproportionately impacted by the pandemic. Mm-hmm. And you know, like I said before, there are ways to help credit unions to help those communities, and that's what we're focusing on in our advocacy here at NAFCU.
Yeah, and the last thing I just thought of would be security, cybersecurity, fraud, all that type of stuff. You would have to consider that as well. So that's another chapter or another area to consider too when getting into this business. So oh my goodness.
I mean, even though, you know, the USPS is not taxpayer funded, which I don't think a lot of people know, actually, you know, they don't receive congressional appropriations. They're just relying on the revenue that they get from, you know, the sale of stamps and other, you know, products and services that they offer. So, I mean, this is, in my eyes, you know, clearly just a means of testing the market to see whether there is an opportunity for, you know, some revenue to be generated here.
Oh my gosh, that's what I was thinking as well, because the USPS is one organization that needs the revenue. So we all know that story.
No surprise that the USPS, or at least it shouldn't be a surprise to anyone, that the USPS is in a dire financial condition these days. And yeah, they're looking for new markets to tap into and new revenue streams. And that's perfectly understandable.
Completely.
You know, it seems like there was a reason why the USPS no longer or stopped offering financial services back in the 60s, you know, because banks and credit unions could do it better.
Exactly.
So really, you know, what are we thinking now to try to get back into that space?
Goodness. What a pickle we're in right now. This would be interesting. Okay. And that's it. Last question for you, Anne. I'll let you get back to work. Where do we go from here? What's next for this pilot program? How long does the pilot program run? And then what steps are going to be taken after that? Do you guys foresee?
Well, so we're still trying to track down any sort of, you know, public notice or outline of the contours of this program. But, you know, based on just a review of the statutory requirements and rules for entering new markets and establishing these types of pilot programs, generally it is a program that lasts for about 24 months. Now, again, I, you know, don't quote me on that. I don't know if that is exactly the case with this, but that's what is in statute for these sort of market testing programs. Yep. And so we could potentially see this around for a couple of years while the USPS figures out whether this is a worthwhile venture for them. But, you know, again, this seems to be a solution in search of a problem. And there have actually been some studies, a GAO study that came out earlier this year that looked into expanding certain non-postal services by the USPS. And, you know, check cashing was one of them. And they surveyed, you know, postmasters across the country and found that a lot of them did not think that expanding into non-postal areas like financial services, including programs like check cashing, would provide increased revenues or even benefits to the communities to any, you know, substantial extent. So if that's any indication, you know, maybe this pilot program was just a stretch and, you know, it'll be gone as we know it in a couple of years or even sooner than that.
Yeah.
But, you know, there's a chance that it could lead to further discussions on Capitol Hill about expanding postal banking as an option to help underserved areas. And that's where our focus is.
Exactly. And that kind of leaves us with, hey, this is even more incentive for credit unions to really let our voices be heard and that we can do this job and we can do it really, really well. Again, let the Postal Service do its mail delivery service. And again, focus on your strengths. So again, that's just me pontificating there, but yeah, it just seems kind of an odd move. But anyway, we'll sit back and watch and see what happens. What's that, Anne?
I said you and I are definitely on the same page.
I'm just still shaking my head. But anyway, we'll see where it goes. But again, this is a great opportunity for credit unions to really, again, let our voices be heard and say, hey, we can do this. We can do this. We're good at it already. So we can do this very, very well. All right. All right, Anne. Well, thank you so much for your time. Appreciate it. And we'll keep tabs on this and whatever happens next. We'll give you guys a shout and say, hey, what's going on? So we'd always love to hear more.
Hopefully there's no next time and this just years, but we're trying it anyway.
In this case, we hope there's no next time. All right. All right, Anne. Thanks again. Appreciate the time and keep up the good work there. All right.
Thanks so much.